coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, September 12th, 2024. I bet you wondered where we were yesterday. Yeah, we did too. We were blown into the ether. We've had some technical issues. I'm going to tell you something. The last 30 days has been one of the roughest periods in our history, show-wise. We had staff out with COVID. We had technical problems. We also had, we're working on a tremendously intense investigation. So a lot of field time, a lot of field work, no sleep, but yet here we are. It's good to be with you. Thank you for your understanding and patience. And thank you for your support, including the people we've partnered with on a corporate level. And I'm talking about getalloftheone.com. That's getalloftheone.com. Would you believe me if I told you, and I know you would, that in your pantry, in your cupboard right now is one of the best, the healthiest foods on the planet. And it's true. It's not some superfood, but it's olive oil. You've probably used it to cook with, but there are countless ways to use olive oil to help yourself look and feel younger. For example, olive oil is a natural way to help you achieve a more youthful appearance. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a fantastic tool for your insides as well. Dr. Stephen Gundry, a famous thoracic surgeon, nutrition expert, health advocate, you know, he says that you should get as much high quality olive oil into your daily routine as possible. I've been doing that. I love it. It's, you know, whether it's just taking a shot daily or keeping a bottle in your medicine, in your bathroom medicine cabinet, or just get it into your body. But what kind is best for you? Your overall health. Well, any olive oil can give you some benefits, but if you're looking to get the best results, it matters a lot which one you pick. And look, the olive oil industry is huge. You can tell by the number of olive oil brands you see at the grocery store. And you can bet they're not all made with the consumer in mind, and many brands even cut corners on one way or another to increase profits. But when Dr. Gundry came to this realization, he was appalled. Some olive oils are so powerful, on the other hand, it may take only a few tablespoons a week to see these incredible health benefits. So how can you tell between an olive oil that has that can be a health booster and which one isn't quite up to par? Dr. Gundry answers that question. He's decided to take a stand and release his personal research and findings. And there's a video that you need to see. It's gone viral since its release. And it's important for you to see so you can start benefiting immediately. Folks, I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this video. Go to getalloftheone. That's getalloftheone.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Or click the link in the description box below. That's getalloftheone.com/Hagman. Or just click in the description box below. People have taken his advice, have shared the results with him, saying that the olive oil they bought after learning his simple rules have helped change their lives. Make sure you go to getalloftheone.com. That's getalloftheone.com/Hagman, or click on the link in the description box below this video. And I appreciate your support of our sponsors, and I appreciate your support as well. And we really need that support right now more than ever before, given the number of things that are taking place. Now, we haven't talked since the debate, of course. That was big. Everyone was talking about that yesterday. During the debate, I got a tremendous number of phone calls and messages, emails, and such. And it was what it was. I do believe, based on, and I'm just going to toss this out there real quick, I believe based on everything I've seen, I do believe, number one, that Kamala Harris did receive the questions in advance. I truly believe that. Number two, I also believe, based on all of the surveillance and counter-surveillance work I've done, this is my personal belief now. Take it for what you will. Okay, the earrings that she was wearing, those are, in fact, I can best describe them as wireless earbuds. All right, they hang on your earlobe, but they transmit into your ear. All right. So you're aware of the ambient noise, the surrounding noise, the conversation and what have you. But there is a they act as receivers and transmitters. They receive words coming from a transmitter and then transmit that into your ear. If you look closely and if you follow the rabbit trail on this, I think you would agree with me. And watch how many times that she has worn those earrings in interview settings. And I think you'll agree with me on this. And compare those to the company that manufactures those. They call them, I believe it's wireless earring, earbuds, wireless. But I do believe that was the case. And especially when you match up her body language, when she starts, when she stops, her cadence. If you measure, for example, the time it takes her to listen to a particular sentence or statement and then repeat that, watch it carefully. Again, you've got to watch it very carefully or you're going to miss that. I also believe that the debate was 3-1. Of course, the two moderators. Did you know that the female moderator is a sorority sister of Kamala Harris? There's no, you can't make that up. And there's no, obviously no conflict of interest there, right? And the beta male that was there from ABC, already having fact-checked some of the questions, allegedly fact-checked some of the questions, including but not limited to what happened in Springfield, what is happening in Springfield, Ohio, with respect to the cooking of pets and such. Look, it's all right there for you. The fact that the corporate media is an organ of the state, is an organ of the deep state, is an organ of the globalist and a purveyor of the globalist agenda. This is what we have to understand, that, you know, no matter how much you dislike or even hate the media, it's not even close enough to what you need to, how much you should hate them for what they do. Because I believe that estate, the media, the corporate media, and even some in this venue are anti-American. They're communist operatives, and they're working to bring America down. Right now, we're looking at, for example, and you may or may not hear about this on the media, or if you hear about it within the media, or if you hear about it, it's not going to be, it's not going to be the way it really is. For example, right now, I'm looking at this, the White House, Biden, is going to allow, or is allowing, Ukraine to strike deeper into Russia, escalating war just months ahead of the election. Folks, this has its connections. Now, I'm going to say this. If you go back in history to Obama, everything we're seeing today, really even prior to that, go back to 9/11 of 2001. We commemorated that day yesterday, that tragic series of events yesterday, the lives lost. But also, what is never talked about is what happened on 9/11/2012, Benghazi. And the Afghanistan withdrawal, which was scheduled to end on 9/11 during Biden's regime. Folks, we are in this right now. We are in the throes of a coup from within. I'm going to toss this out there, bring Randy Taylor on. It's been a while since you've seen him, so it's going to be good to see him. But I'm going to toss this out there before I do. For discussion, number one, I believe in the very near future, Biden will step down and allow communist mattress-backed Kamala to assume the role of presidency. And she, in turn, will pardon Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, for the previous and contemporaneous crimes, and even in within the language of that pardon for future crimes discovered from the concurrent or previous crimes. That can be done. I believe that that's going to happen. Number two, I think that we're also going to see, and I'm going to be talking at an event with Pastor Paul Bagley, but I would also see tell you this, and we're going to be getting a little bit because Randy Taylor is involved in this investigation as well. I believe we're going to see another attempt on President Trump's life, as well as J.D. Vance. I'm telling you right now, this is perhaps one of the most dangerous periods in American history. And we know of what we speak. We know of what we speak. Because unlike a lot of keyboard warriors, which, look, no disrespect intended, we've actually had our boots on the ground, actually talked with people, interviewed people, gotten statements, attempted to get statements, taken video, taken audio, taken pictures. I'm telling you, we've been involved in everything related to this attempted takedown, assassination attempt of President Donald Trump. We'll be getting more into that later. But with me right now, Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. If you want to get in touch with him, follow him on Twitter as well, Randy Taylor USA. The link, of course, is in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. But with me again, Randy Taylor. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. Hello to everyone out there. It's been a while. We've been busy.
I just have a question for you. Have you gone to black and white, or is that on our side there because of the text?
I think that is on your side, sir.
It is.
It's not me.
All right. Is that a...
Eric's trying to make me look like Malcolm X here or something. What's going on, Eric?
I'll tell you what. Like I said, folks,
you're in full on the screen. On the screen split, you're full color. Mine's black and white.
Yeah.
So we're using a backup computer.
Backup computer.
And the video card out of it is not that good. So that's
what. Oh.
So it's going to be this way for a couple of days anyway. So a couple of shows. Oh. There we go.
That's all right, because when I talk to you, it's in black and white anyway. There's no gray area with me. No, it's black or white.
And as well, it should be. And that's that's a big problem today. I've seen so much over the last couple of days. People are accepting and actually embracing what would be immoral, unbiblical things. I happen to tune into a couple of talk show hosts who are now really on board with the fact that we're engaged in a spiritual war. And that, look, it's good versus evil. It's not kind of good versus sort of evil. It's good versus evil. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And about the absences and all, and every now and then there not being a show, you got to remember, as Doug's always said, investigative agency first.
Yeah.
Journalist, secondly. And this investigation that's being conducted is really, really, really in depth. Very time consuming. Doug's been pouring his heart and soul into this. And there for a while, it was everybody's feet on the ground.
I'm telling you.
And that's just how it had to be. But there is trouble. We're in bad times. I don't know how. I can't stress enough how terrible things are right now. This is not the normal, like all talk, people in the podcast, the usual gloom and doom and all that. And we're not a gloom and doom outfit. That's not it. We always try and find that positive aspect to it. We're looking really hard for that positive aspect right now. The only positive aspect we have is that we're marching into battle. We've got our Lord Jesus. We've we've got the Lord, his Father, protecting us. We're shielded in his armor. And with that, we can take on anything. And that's the attitude you have to have. Things are going to get, listen, you ain't seen nothing yet. Things are going to get real rocky between now and Election Day. They're pulling out all stops. President Trump is in danger. Every minute of his life. And I can't stress that enough. All right? And we need to pray. You've already seen what God can do. You watched God turn a man's head and save him from a bullet. Why don't you stop and think? You don't know anybody else in your life that's happened to. If you stop and think about it. If there's one of you out there, I'd love to hear about it. But we all wait to sit on TV. You know how people say, well, God doesn't perform miracles. I haven't seen a burning bush. I haven't seen my staff or my stick turn into a snake.
No, you know what? The days are over.
You know what? I saw a man miss a sniper. Missed this man. And nicked his ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to think about that. If that isn't a guardian angel standing there protecting that man, I don't know what to tell you.
You know what's even more interesting? I mean, if we bring it to the present, I mean, we're 50, roughly 50 days. I don't know how many days after that. But beyond that, the media wants to memory hole that event. Okay, they're desperately trying to memory hole that event. The fact that I don't have my notebook. My investigative notebook is in the safe. I apologize. But one thing I was told, and this was yesterday, as a matter of fact, by someone present at the rally who was law enforcement, active law enforcement. And RT, I don't even think I told you this. I don't even think I told Eric to take this. I was told yesterday by a law enforcement officer at that particular rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. This man was there from early in the morning right through the end of the event, witnessed everything, witnessed some very, very peculiar behavior. No one's got this information, and I don't want anyone to get this information. And there's a reason for that, because there are threats being made out there. I've talked to Randy Taylor, myself, and others. We have talked to numerous people who have been threatened by the federal authorities. You talk, and we will make sure you are put in jail for obstruction of justice.
People have already vanished, man.
One person in particular has gone.
There's one person that... Right off the face of the earth.
No, it's not Max.
Not a trace of them.
Yeah.
And we can usually, skip trace somebody. This guy's gone.
It's good. By the way, Eric the Tech, can you move that cursor? I feel like I want to just grab that.
Doug, you're going black and white on me, buddy.
Can't do it?
No, not yet.
No, we're stuck. All right.
What it is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a voice from the past, and I've come to talk to you today.
I'll tell you, you've got a black and white sepia thing going on. I've got something that, I'm looking at a preview monitor. I'm trying to grab.
You're chasing the bouncing ball.
Right. It's like teasing a cat with a laser pointer. Yeah. But no, it's we look at things. The fact that the media is quiet on this, and there was something that happened with them, I don't want to tease people. It's not my intent, but I've got to be really careful because of the evolving nature of the investigation. You understand this, okay? Look, the media. There was something off with the media. Of course, there was somebody there with their how many thousands of a second camera. Okay, that was odd. People realize that, okay? But there was something else off with the media that day. I don't want to get too far into it, except there were certain people within the media knew, right, or based on their actions, believed something was going to happen. I'm telling you this. Please take this to the bank. That man there knows too.
Because they also were streaming live.
They don't normally do that. Right. CNN happened to be there, which not normally there. But there were people in the know, and there were breaches of protocol so severe, well beyond what Dan Bongino, God bless that man, talks about. But even at the local level.
And some fluctuations in the stock market.
Of course.
Just so many weird little things.
Yeah.
But people, I will say, this runs deep.
Yes, it does.
This runs deep. Put it this way. When it gets uncovered, which it will, I think jaws are going to drop across the nation. And you're going to be surprised who's involved. You're going to be surprised. Party will say, okay. Yeah, but you'll be surprised how far up the food chain this goes.
Now, about that, because, again, I hate to tease people about this.
We're not teasing.
Well, okay, I agree. We're not, but I hate to, because people will say, for example, people will say, video art didn't happen. Or if you know something, spill it. Okay, why can't we spill it right now?
How could you ever prosecute him if you were going to spill everything?
You would be endangering people that there's a proper way of doing things, taking the statements, video statements, written statements, recorded statements. Okay, there's a proper way of doing things. But here's the other thing, too. there's a difference between evidence and proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge difference. You taught me that 20 years ago.
Right. So we may have evidence of complicity with respect to, and I'm tossing this out there, for example, wink, the U.S. Secret Service and local police allowing, for example, someone to go up on top of a roof. It's pretty okay. So we have evidence of this, and we can document this.
Well, that roof, in my opinion, turned into a stage.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That was a listen, ladies and gentlemen, what Doug just said about law enforcement and all, I just in my humble opinion, they're in it up to their eyeballs. You cannot tell me, don't even try.
And
to tell me that wasn't it. No. But a key few.
Yeah, a key few. Oh, thank you.
And that's all you need. You only need a key few to bring down. You know what I mean? And Troy, when they marched that horse in there, right? It only took a key few there. Those key fews, as you start looking at them, Skip, put it this way. There's enough circumstantial evidence to probably hang a few people.
Yes.
But you can't. What Doug just said, evidence and proof, two different things. And when you start playing on this level, okay, when you play at this level, you better have every ducky in a row. Every one of the repercussions would be unbelievable.
You know.
You talk about taking on the giant. You talk about grabbing the tiger by the tail.
Okay, about that. Maybe I should disclose something here. I wasn't going to do this, but...
Doug will say things. He's the boss. Okay, I only go as far as Doug will go. I won't go a step further as far as verbalization. I won't. He's the boss.
And
he knows
that.
What we can do and what we can't do. So he's my guide on this, so folks understand that.
Well,
he has the integrity of the case to protect and the integrity of protecting Donald Trump.
Okay.
Who is in danger.
I'll tell you what. Let's go with this. We'll go with this first. I was going to play this yesterday. For people who don't know what the hell we're talking about, obviously, I was asked... in late July, initially, and then early August, to conduct an investigation, my agency, because we're in the backyard of Butler. Butler's in their backyard, that is. We're credentialed investigators in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, 37 years in business. Know the police, know the surroundings, know the key people. So anyway, we were asked to, if we would be interested in conducting an investigation. Okay, it's patriotism over profit at this point. Yes, of course, we would do that. And so we began doing that. Shatter Ops team. The supporters in the supporters meeting, last supporters meeting we had, I laid it all out for them in terms of, you know, the details, but which is why I think that, you know, hey, if you can become a supporter and join us once a month. But anyway, so we assembled a team, Shatter Ops, Russ's guys. We assembled Save Them. Landon from Save Them, Luke and Coach and others from Shatter Ops, Susan Daniels from Ohio, who worked on Jack Cashel's book, Ashley, tracked down a lot of people there. God bless that woman. In fact, I've got something to show you from her. And some experts in different venues. So we assembled them. Randy Taylor, he came down specifically as well to assist in the investigation. And of course, that pissed, I'm going to be really frank, that pissed off a lot of police officers, a lot of police agencies, not officers, agencies. Pissed them off. And the feds, we had so many feds up our behinds at different days. I think they were having a poker. I mean, they could have been playing poker up our butts. I'm telling you.
You still got tent stake holes in your butt from where they camped out.
Okay. And, you know, it's almost like it's like a friggin' spy novel, you know, because you don't expect, seriously, I've been doing this 30-some, you don't expect this. I mean, you hear about, oh, you know, I got followed this or I got, okay, right. All right. But
that's the assumption that it's feds. That's the assumption sometimes that, and sometimes the people in the vehicle, you don't know they're all there.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point there, too. So I'll tell you what we'll do. I got a tip from someone. I can't reveal the client. It would be unethical to reveal any client information. But let's just say they're very, very extremely close to the Trump family. I'll just say that. And they're very concerned, too, about the trust factors. They're very concerned about the issues. So, okay, fine. I wanted to make sure that the information was getting back to the proper people, that might, the point person I was dealing with, to the family, because we issued collectively, Randy Taylor, Eric the Tech, myself, the teams, all the investigators, I compiled a report, and interim report, and sent it to them. And I want to make sure that the proper people received it. And the response was, watch this, or, you know, wait for it. You'll know it when you see it. And this is what we were waiting for. And this is what we knew when we saw it. This is cut three. It's, you know what? I'm not sure. Is cut three the proper one? It should be 34 seconds. Okay. How'd that happen? Stand by. Talk amongst yourselves. Randy Taylor, you can. One of the oddities. Well, I'm looking for this because this is important. I think people really. Oh, you know what? If you just go to my Twitter feed, folks, or Eric, go to my Twitter feed, and it should be on top of my Twitter feed. If you can. But in the meantime, while he's doing that, a couple of odd things happened to us during this investigation. I'm going to just lay this out. I'm not suicidal, nor is Randy Taylor, but I'll just say this: my garaged vehicle, my vehicle that I keep in the garage, has an onboard computer system. I hate these systems. I hate computers. I want a car that, you know, the old cigarette lighter, the windows that roll down and the vent windows, and you know, even an 8-track player, if we're going to go all out, right? So the onboard computer showed this warning sign, warning message, attempted theft detected with a big triangle. And did I relay this already? I feel like I did.
I don't know. I remember it, but...
Did I relay this on there?
Tell it again. That's good. We were there. Everything was cool. I was with Doug, in fact.
Yeah.
And when he pulled the vehicle in the garage, parked it.
Yeah.
In fact, we went out back to relax a little bit and talk about what we'd done that day.
Anyway, yeah, and apparently I did tell the story, but the bottom line was it showed attempted theft detected, so I took it to a garage, had the garage look at it. As a friend of mine had one of these older computers, said, yeah, there was a problem here, and it looked like the target of this attempted hack, it was an attempted hack, not a theft, not a physical theft, was the focused on, and I don't know how they tell this. I mean, he could have been blowing smoke up my butt. I don't know, but he said it was the driving system that comprises the steering, acceleration, braking. Okay, but anyway, right. They said it. He said, "Look, it doesn't appear that anything was affected." Based, and I don't know how. Look, man, he could have. I don't know, but he said doesn't look like anything was affected. It popped back to factory settings after he did whatever he did. I don't know, but he said take it to a dealer garage because they would essentially be able to do a forensic analysis on the computer, onboard computer, which, okay, fine. But this is the kind of stuff that we've been dealing with.
But generally, it's like, and over the years, your vehicle is the first thing that somebody sends you a message through. Seriously. I had mine burnt to the driveway at my house years ago.
I still have pictures somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and they tried to say that the Ford Explorer, and they tried to say, well, it's the ignition switch. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But the fire investigator that came out said, cruise control. He said, no, the cruise control's over on this side of the car. This fire is over on this side of the car, and it started out on the outside of the car. So, yeah, I mean, this, your vehicle is the first thing, and it's to send you a message. Believe it. I know it. You know it. The audience out there, you guys know it. You had people key your car that didn't like you. I mean, your vehicle, for some reason, people feel is an extension of you. And Doug got a warning, plain and simple. When he said that, I was like, do we really want to take this truck today?
Yeah. So I got to pay a neighborhood kid, you know, 50 cents a day to start my vehicle. But
we had had a little brush with...
do tell.
Some people, all right. When we pulled up on the one day out there, we pulled up on the fairgrounds.
That's fine.
I'll just say fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds.
And okay. We didn't, yeah, there was something going on at fairgrounds, kind of a big deal with, is it safe to say that it was government people out there?
Go ahead.
Legislators. There's an investigative legislative group, Democrat and Republican, and they were in there and being, you know, they were being brought up to speed on what happened there in Butler. These are congressmen and senators are in there. Cops stopped us.
Otherwise known as a circle jerk, by the way. I just should say.
So Mr. Hagman and myself pull up to the gate, and it was obvious, the cop made it quite obvious that he wasn't going to let us in there. And so anyway, we decided we'll go around trying. Go all the way around, and maybe we can go in through the back. We're starting. We're heading down the one road on the back side of this thing. And all of a sudden, Doug says, I picked up a tail, which is really good because there's traffic all over the place. And I glanced in the mirror, and I'm like, really? And so then he goes down. We're going to take the next right. He goes down and made it right. Now we're on kind of it's the back entrance to the fairgrounds. And it's kind of a dirt road, you know, so we get out of there and we start going. This truck turns right with us, pickup truck, tinted windows, and it starts following us. Now, bear in mind.
Yeah, two rights.
Yeah, this, absolutely. These guys are following us. So we go back and we get to the point, we really can't go any further without actually crashing into the ground. It's going through a gate. And these guys, and they pull up and they stop. And they block the road. I mean, they park right in the middle of the road. And Doug and I pull around. We turn a little bit just so we can, you know, kind of have a peripheral on them on the left. And we're really trying to play it off. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I was glad we had Ranger with us for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me set the stage on this, because when you looked into the driver's or the windshield of this vehicle, assuming there was no glare, you would see me in the driver's seat, RT over in the passenger seat, and this big flipping bear head. Okay, German Shepherd going, you know, hey, what's going on, man?
Exactly. And Ranger is very, very, very protective. But anyway, we sat there, and ladies and gentlemen, it was for the longest time. We sat there, and they didn't move, and we didn't move. Okay, we don't know who those people in that truck were. No idea. We knew there were two vehicles, there were two men in that truck. And some of them we see was silhouettes. And we sat there, and Doug turned the truck even a little more, I think, kind of showing intention that we were planning on leaving. And then they came down, did a real slow turn, stopped again, parallel with us, about 30 feet away. And they were making it quite clear that they did not want us there. But, and so at the same time, seeing I wasn't sure about, is it law enforcement? Because wouldn't they hop out and identify themselves? No, it's something else was going on here. And they sent the message loud and clear, you need to get out of here. And we, you know, they did. People did not want us anywhere near those fairgrounds. And same thing as you go back to the second day, same thing. And people are very antagonistic because there's been attention on this whole event. You know, so when you go and you try and talk to somebody, they're either cool with it and will talk with you, or they're extremely hostile. And that's kind of what you have to work with. And listen, there are so many things about that day. This is so much like the JFK assassination. It's unreal. About the Patsy, other gunmen. There wasn't just one. That kid on the roof is not the story. He's part of the story. There's much more to the story. And those are the bits and pieces. And when we say we can't give you a lot of stuff, because a lot of times we have a little piece of something and we have to, we got so much to do on it, we can't jeopardize it. And a lot of people, if they were in our positions, wouldn't even talk about it. We love you guys, your family. We want you to pray for us. We want you to support us. Okay, so we're telling you absolutely, when we talk to you on the air, everything we can without jeopardizing the case or jeopardizing evidence. And that's really easy to do. It's a fine line you walk. And anybody out there that's done any kind of investigations, you know that. And this shatter ops team that Doug talks about, let me tell you what, be glad they're out there doing what they do. They're good.
They're damn good.
They are damn good. Incredibly good. I was flabbergasted when I because I came in late to it. I had some issues in the family with a very sick person. We almost lost a family member. So we had a few things to deal with. We kind of tried to work some vacation time in, and Doug was gracious enough to set it up to where we could have some vacation time close to him. And he what a cool guy. I was not even 10 minutes from him for a week, and he didn't bug me about anything. In fact, he told me, I don't want to see your face. Spend this with your family.
Absolutely.
What a cool guy. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as I met up with him in Erie, we were on it. Started on this right away, and he started laying out what he had so far and this and that. And I was, let me tell you what, bad guys, you're not going to get away with this.
I know.
You're not.
I believe
you've got men and women that have got on their side that are just coming. They are going to come right up your butt. They're on you. You got the best.
I don't think those
guys. These guys are good. Yep. These guys are good. And I'll tell you right now, if I disappeared and needed to be found, I would pray to God these were the guys that were coming looking, because they'd find me. These guys are good, and they're out there protecting children.
And rescuing children, which...
rescuing them. These guys are incredible. And so when Doug talks about Shatter Ops, you know, you can't say enough about people like that. And I still haven't had a chance to talk to all of them. I've talked to one member, at least, on the phone. And let me tell you something. These are people, man, that their heart's in the right place. They didn't, when this all started, nobody said, hey, what's the paycheck? Anything like that. There is no paycheck.
No.
No.
The answer to
Doug I asked the question, right,
they said, when do you want us?
Yes.
We're on our way.
And that's the way you have to be.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to be. You don't think about stuff like that. There's a life out there that needs to be saved. This country has to be pulled back from the brink of extinction. And there's only one way to do it at this point in time. And we have to protect that. And we're going to protect it. And the people, the little scumbags that tried to kill that man, coming for you.
You know... And Eric did find what I was looking for. I did post this for a reason, because I did ask. Look, I said with the person I was dealing with, I said I want to make sure that this information that we're getting is getting to the proper people. And the answer was, well, this should convince you. Okay, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. Folks, watch this 34-second clip. If you saw it, now you know the context, at least from our perspective, the context in which it was delivered. Here it is.
The attempt to end my husband's life was a horrible, distressing experience. Now, the silence around it feels heavy. I can't help but wonder, why didn't law enforcement officials arrest the shooter before the speech? There is definitely more to this story, and we need to uncover the truth.
Now, she's got a memoir coming out, which people will say, well, that's a promoter memoir. Okay. Yeah. That may be part of it, but the time, just think of the timing of it. So anyway, RT, we spent a lot of time on that. I didn't even expect to do that except show that video clip. But the deep state media blackout on this, President Trump remains in danger.
Unbelievable. How fast they released the fairgrounds and scene of the crime?
3 days.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Come on. I've had crimes in my neighborhood. I had crime tape up longer than that.
Yeah, actually, 72 hours, give or take, they released it. Eric the Tech and the Shatter Ops guys were down there initially, and I couldn't believe the fact that everything was trampled. Everything was the places, by the way, that were off limits, or the places that we were interested in, and we looked at. So. You know, you might see people saying, well, you know what, here's this, here's that. Don't fall for the shiny object that they're dangling in front of you. Go where you need to go.
Go to the place they're not talking about.
That's right. And that's
that was a contaminated crime scene.
Oh, hell yeah. But plus the biological DNA evidence that was look, this is public knowledge. I believe this is public knowledge. The fact that they left the shooter, alleged shooter, Crooks, on the roof overnight, removed the body, took the body from the roof to Butler. Butler couldn't do the postmortem because of the lack of the medical examiner. They sent it to Allegheny, came back to Butler, and then 10 days later, or 10 days after the the shooting. It was released for cremation, which is just out of protocol given the serious nature of this investigation.
And I've seen the president before in public. Presidents, I have. I remember Daytona Speedway. I've never seen so many snipers in my life. There was snipers everywhere. You couldn't get near Bush. I remember that was back when Bush was president. And I was seated maybe 25 feet from him at the racetrack. And there were weapons scanning the crowd and everything. This would have never happened with that team. Why did it happen with this team?
The sniper teams that were there did not do a full 360, did not have a 360 degree of vision. Okay.
If that was you and I up on that roof of that red building,
yeah,
just you and I, that wouldn't have occurred. We're two old farts. I mean, Crooks was up there
dancing,
almost doing a ballerina thing. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'd have shot him a lot sooner. I'd have shot him before he ever got a round off.
You know, yeah, and as I would have as well, but I'm going to tell you this. A lot of this information is going to come out. It's got to come out in a way. In a certain way. I'm just not going to get into how it's going to come out. But, folks, it's going to come out in a very specific way. And that way is designed.
We don't want to have a puzzle with big chunks missing for you.
That's right.
When those chunks can be put in place, we're going to spin that puzzle around and show it to you.
Exactly. And those wanting information beforehand, there is an answer to that, but again, I'm going to put a period there, not to be mystic or cryptic or whatever you call it, cryptic, but just to let you know that there's something that people will be able to sink their teeth into, get a kind of an overall idea that will come out for public consumption. But more on that later. Okay, we spent enough time on that.
Now we got some videos here, man. We got so much going on.
Yeah. Now,
and remember that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of distractions right now, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention to the distractions.
You know, let's go to, rather than videos. Let's see here. Let's go to a couple of articles. I think this is important. If you go to page one in the show notes, HagmanPI.com, please subscribe to our Rumble channel, Brighty on Channels. But 9/11/2012, we lost people in Benghazi. And I wrote extensively about Benghazi. Page one on HagmanPI.com, if you type in the word Benghazi, you can see it right there, the search term Benghazi. You can see all of the search results contemporaneous with that event. The Hagman PI, Hagman Investigative Services, and the Hagman Report, we were involved in getting information out to the public about this. And Randy Taylor as well was heavily involved in this, but the entire Benghazi issue, the attack there, the loss of life, it was a deception. And if you go to page two, which is a 2014 flashback, I think I posted it back in 2019, the importance of Ukraine from an intelligence contact. Okay. Now, Randy Taylor, what's going on in Ukraine, in Russia right now, has its fingerprints back on Benghazi, has its fingerprints back to the same people who were involved with Benghazi, with the weapons. It was a weapons running operation in Benghazi, Hillary Clinton and others. Okay. This, you've got to read this article, this 2014 flashback. In fact, it'll be in the link in the program description box underneath the headline. But I'm telling you right now, the Ukraine war with Russia has its roots back to Benghazi and Arab Spring by Barack Hussein Obama. People aren't getting this. Your thoughts on this, if you
ladies and gentlemen, that's why Stevens was killed. Okay? Stevens was ready to give up the goods. And they killed that man. And you got to understand, the deep state, just because they're not currently sitting in an office, doesn't mean they're not still doing exactly the same thing they were doing when they were in office. This all of this filth goes back to Barack Hussein Obama, and Hillary Clinton's in there too. And there's other players too that are in this, that are still there. Somewhere you're going to find, and I firmly believe this, and I said this to Doug, can't prove it right now, a lot of little indicators, I firmly believe Ukraine, okay, is one of the reasons why they don't want Trump in office. And I'll tell you why. Because the people that are making money off of that money laundering operation called the Ukraine or Ukraine, they don't want that money to stop. Every time money's sent overseas, there's a lot of it comes back.
Into the pockets of the leadership.
Into pockets of the people that are voting to send the money in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to know this. This whole Ukraine thing is a sewer. I don't want people dead. I really don't. But we can't keep funneling money over there just to come back, chunks of it, into Zelensky's pocket personally and into the pockets of people in the Senate and Congress.
Amen to that.
Who would not support Ukraine? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He will not go in there and dump billions or trillions into that. He won't do it. So guess who they don't want to see in the White House?
Yes.
It's worth killing over.
There's a 1 metric ton of money. I mean, tons of money that are...
People don't realize what all is involved with Ukraine. This isn't just some country that Russia invaded.
No. And this also goes back to, now, although this withdrawal from Afghanistan occurred in August of 2021, it was scheduled for, oddly enough, by the Biden regime, to be conducted on September 11th of 2021, I believe it was.
What is with that date, my friend?
Well, it has a satanic significance. People will say, "Oh, you're out of your tree." Okay, but it does. I'm just gonna.
No, this is those kind of coincidences.
No, I mean, no, they're not. And I know Cash Patel wrote in his book, Government Gangsters, about his experience with the setting up the withdrawal and what really happened. It was really ugly. Getting back to Benghazi, because we have to go back past this prologue real quick on this. Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse yesterday posted 12th anniversary of the Benghazi attack, the Benghazi brief, and he gets down into, again, the compilation of reports that we filed at HagmanPI.com. If you use the search feature at our website, you can pull up all of the insider reports we got, all of the information about this, but he lays this out pretty well. And the people involved here, from McCain to some of the military operatives to Hillary Clinton. But he writes that Benghazi brief remains the most in-depth research project that Conservative Treehouse has ever produced. And I believe that to be true. Looking through this, a lot of great information in this. Kudos to Sundance Conservative Treehouse. Now, during the Benghazi attack, we know, of course, from Brett Baer, that Clinton was physically located in her 7th floor office in D.C. on the night of 9/11/2012. Now we're going back to 2012 again, Benghazi. Okay, so now The interesting, an interesting tidbit here, and you have to really understand, things don't want, they don't want to have things found. Okay, in misdirection. There were, during November 2012, during the Thanksgiving holiday, a very mysterious fire took place in the very building where Hillary Clinton was. It was on the floor directly above her office. The cause is yet to be determined. A fire which preceded an unfortunate slip and fall for Clinton, do you remember this? Resulting in a concussion which led to a discovery of a blood clot that ultimately delayed her congressional testimony before a Senate hearing of the events of the night in question.
Huh. So convenient.
Isn't that interesting?
And then a couple of years later, running for president.
Yeah.
With a clean bill of health.
Of course. Now, writes Sundance, this is really important. We know that the Libyan uprising began on February 10th of 2011. We also know that sometime around the end of February 2011, Obama assigned a presidential directive authorizing the State Department and CIA to begin a covert operation to arm the Libyan rebels. We also know of a second presidential finding memo authorizing additional CIA covert action in 2012, this time in Syria. Now, you see the connection between Libya and Syria here. However, unlike 2011, we don't know the operational name of the second action in Syria in 2012. But here's here's an interesting point of fact. The February 10th date of 2011, the Iranian Red Crescent fired missiles into, fired not missiles, but rockets into, shoulder-fired rockets into the compound in Benghazi. And this was a CIA compound. This is not the consulate. This is not an embassy, as the media will tell you. This was a CIA compound, period, end of story. It didn't have an embassy flag. It didn't even have an American flag flying out front. And it was a series of buildings, not just one building. The reason this is important is because all of this stuff that's going on today, this is a big cog in this big wheel. This is a big cog in the Ukraine war that we're facing right now, and the anti-Russian, because Russia drew a red line in the sand. Hey, you're not going to mess with Syria. This was intent to mess with Syria. Now you're talking about arming the rebels in against the Syrian, against Syria to topple the leadership there. And of course, Syria has a deep water, warm deep water port. But
which is an extension. We're looking at.
Go ahead. Yeah.
The Arab Spring continues.
In earnest, yes.
Really, really, seriously. People don't, and this is my belief, Putin is 100% against the globalists. And that's why he drew the line on Syria and Iran. Not that he loves Syria and Iran. It's just that's getting too close to home. That's my humble opinion. And there's a lot of good Americans. And I think that Putin loves Americans but hates the American government. In my opinion. Yeah,
exactly. And
I don't know how else to really explain that. But he is, this globalist stuff, if you notice, every time they try and do something, I mean, that going into Ukraine was huge because that's the big wash machine where the money's laundered, where the globalists are dumping cash in and the politicians are pulling it out. Do people understand that? It's like Ukraine is an ATM.
It's if people remember ATMs,
the banks, yes, banks in Ukraine. That's the government, U.S. government, the politicians. That's their ATM. Don't you guys ever wonder how these net worths jump from them barely making their salary as a politician to suddenly you look in their accounts and they have $40 million.
Well, welcome to the washing machine. Randy Taylor, I just have to interrupt. We are going to have a problem here if we don't cut this program at the roughly the 60-minute mark so we can broadcast again tomorrow. Otherwise, flames might be coming out of the cockpit of Eric the Tech. said cockpit. Yeah, okay. So thank you. I appreciate it. But you know, folks, don't look at everything at a surface level. Look at the depth of events. And I think, RT, I think you pointed some very significant stuff out, whether it be the attempted assassination or what's happening now. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of you. Links in the program notes, HagmanPI.com.